Dave and Darren.
And the Top 5 Things podcast, a delightful review, we think you'll find, of what we got accomplished on our morning show, which you can hear every morning on KQCJ. That's
Planet
93.9.
Just the best.
Well, I mean, it's not bad. Glad you're here for it. We're about to get started with, I guess, the very first of the top five things, and that would be...
Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
There's a subreddit that asked people who work in different fields, what's a trade secret, a treasure trove of things that we're not supposed to know
what
about?
What do we need to know?
Yeah, and a lot of these I think are very interesting. Can I share a couple of them? Here's one. If you're sending multiple FedEx packages to one place, ship one overnight and the rest standard. They'll be delivered at the same time. If let's say you wanted to get everything to a place.
Yeah.
If you ship one package overnight and the rest standard, FedEx will just put them all together. They won't send the overnight before they send the rest of the
stuff.
But
you will be paying for the overnight.
For the one package, yeah. If you ship through FedEx Express, if you're sending many packages or envelopes to a single stop, ship one priority overnight and the rest standard, they will be delivered together with the priority packages. That's good to know.
If you need something overnight.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're just looking to get stuff there in a hurry, but you don't want to pay, you know, overnight for all the packages.
But then if you're not in a big hurry to get it there, then you don't want to go ahead and pay overnight, which is going to cost you more.
Right. This is another tip from somebody who works in the car rental business. They say you should rent a car for 2 weeks longer than you need it. If you want to book a rental car but they're sold out, book it for a week or two longer than you actually need it and then just return the car early. You'll only get charged for the time that you had it. All of the computer systems owned by Enterprise Rent-A-Car, that's Enterprise, Alamo, and National, automatically open up their system to long-term reservations.
That's the default setting?
And they'll make sure you get a car over someone who only booked for a day or two.
Well, that makes sense.
Uh-huh. So if you can't get a car, say, you know what, I actually need the car for like, you know...
2 weeks. Oh, you're a priority now.
Exactly. This is somebody who's worked there for years. They say it's a dirty business, but I learned a lot of rental hacks working here. So if you need a car for a day, and it says there are no cars, put in a request for 2 weeks, suddenly a car will show up.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who didn't have a car, or who had a car, will find out that they don't have a car. And that is their problem, not yours. Another industry tip, although I think this one we've covered before. When you're at a drive-thru, the workers can hear your conversation until you leave the ordering area. Just because you're done talking doesn't mean that they're done
listening.
Yeah,
but I would figure that that is the case. If I'm right next to a speaker, of course they can hear me.
I don't know that everyone thinks that, though. How about this one? This is one that blew my mind. When you go to a museum and you see a fossil, This is from somebody that works at museums. Most fossils in museums are replicas. They are actually plastic casts from silicone molds of real fossils.
You don't need to see the real thing.
More and more in the industry, 3D printed replicas made from high-resolution scans are becoming a part of things. So when you're at the museum and you're looking at a fossil and you think, my goodness, think of how old that is.
We made it this weekend.
Could be. They are hard to display. They are incredibly valuable.
Yes.
They're just so rare.
They need to be kept somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. At the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto, they have a diagram next to each description of their dinosaurs that show you which pieces of the dinosaur are real and which are casts. I guess they do the same thing at the Field Museum in Chicago. There's a touchscreen in front of the dinosaur that shows you which bones you're looking at are real and which are plastic.
Don't touch the touchscreen.
Uh-huh. The crane arcade games that you see, you know, where you put a buck or two in and you move the knobs around and you grab a teddy bear out of the machine.
Yes.
According to someone in the industry, Those are customizable based on how generous the owner wants to be. Arcade crane games have knobs inside that let you control how strong the claw grabs.
So if you have a problem with that, take it up with the owner of the the restaurant or wherever you are.
You make the claw really weak. There's a setting in the motherboard on those games to make the claw go full power after a certain amount of plays. Whatever the arcade or the owner decides, how often they actually want people to win. So
you could have a winner every time if you wanted to.
Yeah, right.
Or never.
Or you just say, okay, once every 50 times somebody puts money in here, have the jaw actually work.
Right.
Where it can actually pick something up.
Uh-huh.
Someone's saying here, I grew up in a small town and my favorite little mom and pop restaurant had a claw machine that would pay out pretty much every time.
Did Owen end up in one of those claw machines?
No!
Okay, that's a story from...
No, that's a story that happens a lot. We've covered the story where little kids end up in a claw machine.
But that was never your son.
No.
Okay, all right. I couldn't remember.
Having said that, it's the kind of thing he'd pull. But he never did.
Well, not now.
If
he did it now, it's...
Honestly?
It's
I don't put anything past that kid. We'll see. But yeah.
Absolutely intentional at this point.
He never climbed into a claw machine.
Okay, good.
I want to put the kibosh on that. Someone that works at a grocery store.
I've just got a picture in my head that he's in a claw machine.
Yeah. I can picture it too now that you say it. Like, I can vividly picture the look on his face and everything.
And everything.
Yeah, but...
when he was like three.
Yeah, no, those are different little kids that end up in claw machines. Okay. It wasn't mine.
Okay.
People that work in the food industry...
Yes.
...say you should always, always, always wash the tops of your canned goods before you open them.
Yeah. From a supermarket?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I do that.
Do you? I've never done that in my life.
Like if you're opening up a can of corn or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You wash the can, you rinse the can off before you open it up?
Yeah.
I've never done that in my life.
Well.
People are saying here that when you work in the back rooms, you know how much mouse feces and other things get on the top of soda cans and canned goods. Always, always, they say, wash canned goods. I've never done it. I will never not do it now. Having known this. Another trade secret here. They say at Starbucks they have a recycling bin and a trash bin. Everything goes in the dumpster. Another one says at Chipotle they have a recycling bin and a garbage can and a compost bin. And there's only one dumpster out back. They just have it there to make you feel good. It's what it says here.
Uh-huh.
If you are...
That doesn't help.
No.
It's not a hack I can use.
If you are involuntarily removed from a flight because of oversales, if they say, you know, we're sorry, we can't get you on this plane, we oversold.
Yeah.
This is something that they don't want you to know. But you can demand cash instead of a voucher. And they have
give me the money.
They have to give you the money right then and there.
Okay.
If they give you a voucher... then, you know, you have to use them again.
Yes.
But you can just say, no.
No, I'll take that.
We're done here.
I'm gonna take this money and go rent a car for 2 weeks. Not really.
Someone says here, my mom worked her magic once and offered our seats on an oversold flight for a voucher. The airline told her our tickets would be redeemable anywhere in America. So mom quickly said, I'd like 6 tickets to Hawaii then. And I'll never forget the look on the clerk's faces. They argued with her for a bit, but eventually relented. And that's how we got our free trip to Hawaii. Well, that's not bad. Well, that's not bad at all. Some of the works in the customer care field saying here that customer care calls are never actually answered in the order that they're received. And it's not unusually high call volume. They just don't have enough people to answer the phones. And then finally, the expensive pregnancy test that you get at the doctor is the same one you get at the dollar store. They say it's the exact same test. So if you need to take a pregnancy test, Dollar Tree is where you should go rather than the doctor's office.
The old pizza hack I used to do.
Pizza hack, yes.
Where I would call and say, hey, I've got a coupon for a large for the price of a medium.
Uh-huh.
And then not really have one. But then but when they show up, you give them the tip first and say, oh, this is for you.
Uh-huh. Here's,
and then they never ask for the coupon.
Because they're just so distracted by
the fact that you just gave them a tip to begin with, and then it's like, okay, here's the cash tip,
because
you're going to tip them anyway.
Of course you
give
are.
Give that to them first.
Do that first.
And then basically write out your
check. This is for you.
Write out your check for the pizza, and they never ask for the coupon.
Here's some, if you're doing homemade pizza, how's this for a pizza hack? If you're making your pizza at home, buy the toppings from the salad bar at the grocery store. You'll save time and money. As opposed to getting the stuff where they have it packaged, you buy a salad bar. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna get, you know, like if you're,
I guess you could do that. You could basically, if you wanted to, it's like, okay, we're gonna have a salad and a pizza, so we're gonna put the salad stuff on this side of the container, and then on the other side of the container, that's all our pizza toppings.
Like if you're doing red onions or black olives, right?
Yes, and all that.
You just get it right from the salad bar rather than getting the stuff that's designed for you to put on pizzas because they're charging you a lot of money for that. They say that ordering one larger pizza instead of two smaller ones gets you more pizza and less cost overall.
I think that's true.
You know who would find that information infuriating? Dr. White Trash. Give me two pizzas.
Small ones.
Small ones.
Were they different toppings, though? I mean, was one like pepperoni and one sausage?
That I don't remember. I think it was the same.
Well, then that doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, well, he was...
Great effing party.
If you're reheating a pizza in the microwave, you should always put a glass of water in it, and that'll stop the crust from getting too chewy. And it absorbs, because it absorbs the excess radiation, and it heats the crust
better.
Perfectly. People also say that for leftover pizza, I mean, everybody knows the trick that you're supposed to put it in like a skillet, right? Or you put it in a pan.
Heat it up in a
skillet. You can also, if you don't have one of those handy, they say, you take two slices of cold pizza, and you make like a sandwich, and then you put it in a waffle iron.
Oh, that would make sense.
And it transforms the pizzas into something that's just marvelous. Aren't you marvelous?
Great effing party.
Is Rick around? No, Dr. White.
Can I use your phone?
I need two pizzas. Small ones. They also say if you're doing frozen pizza, if you slice it before you put it in the oven, you won't have a cold center.
Well, I never have a cold center in my frozen pizza.
Yeah, I've never dealt with that either. What does that mean?
Not going to cut it up when it's uncooked.
Great effing party.
Great party. You're not allowed in the party. You're on the porch.
How many times have we kicked you out?
It doesn't mean it's still not a great effing party.
Is Rick here? No. Stop asking for Rick.
There is no Rick.
No, there was a Rick. Okay. Rick was the roommate who smoked, so that's why Dr. White Trash was always asking
cigarettes.
For can I bum a grit?
From Rick.
Rick, great effing party.
Number two.
Right now, local TV commercials. And I think we just don't see as many as we used to because we're watching streaming. Or you're watching something where you can fast forward through TV commercials.
Okay.
What would you say is like the goofiest local TV commercial of all time? Or what's the one that you remember the most? The goofiest, not the most effective, but one where you were like, what is this?
Goofiest? Is there one that you think of?
If I'm thinking about local TV commercials that were nutty, the old Jack Evans furniture commercials were always kind of screwball-y.
Yeah.
And they would get your attention with something
Jack,
that
was... Jack, Jack,
Jack. That was a radio commercial. I'm talking about when, you know, people would be popping out of boxes and whatnot.
Going out of business for 30 years. Out of business sale for 45 years.
Just in terms of like local commercials that are screwy, they tend to just kind of stay on message. There's a local TV ad in Detroit that's getting a lot of play right now.
Jay Thunderfoot?
Oh my gosh, if only. This is an outfit called Robinson Furniture. And I guess this guy's gimmick is... Now, see, that was a TV commercial for a fireworks place. That was great, but that wasn't local.
No.
This is up there. I'm gonna show you this, Darren, and we'll try our best to describe what the images that we see, as this is not a visual medium.
And you say this is a car dealership?
It's a furniture.
A furniture store.
Furniture store. And it's Robinson Furniture. And I guess this guy kind of positions himself as your uncle that owns a furniture store.
Okay, your drunk uncle.
Well, no, he's not drunk. He's just an uncle. And this is something of an origin story, and it takes place in a delivery room. All right?
Okay.
All right? This is an honest-to-God local commercial that's airing on television right now in the Detroit market.
He's the baby?
Well, you've already... reach the conclusion, haven't you?
He's the baby being delivered to this world.
This is an actual... This looks like it's a bit.
Uh-huh. But this is the commercial.
This is a real television commercial, all right?
Mm-hmm. This is the last time, Mrs. Robinson. I need you to push.
Oh, no.
Hi there.
You're doing great.
Happy birthday to me. Who wants to buy some furniture?
So at first they've got his head kind of like trying to come through a
birth canal.
A sheet.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be the birth canal.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he is delivered as the plastic baby, they superimpose his head on the baby. It looks pretty good, really. It doesn't look bad.
As
far as like superimposing his face on the baby, on the plastic baby, looks good, pretty natural.
I'm gonna name him Uncle Robinson.
Remember, $40 down, takes it home. If you need a lawyer, call a lawyer. But if you need furniture, call me. I was born for this.
It's a new year. How about some new furniture? We got TVs, recliners, dinettes, and we're the only furniture store with mopeds, video games, and snow blowers. Remember, anything in the store, $40 down, take it home.
Well, now that you show me this,
obviously
the screwy local commercials are your Mark Brenny's.
This guy in Detroit is another guy who likes to dress up in drag for his TV commercials.
That, that Mark hasn't been delivered.
That maybe this is something that he'll take inspiration from. Here's Uncle Robinson as Lucille Ball.
Can they do that?
I love Robinson. Lucy, what do you think? It's only $40 down.
But Ricky, it's 1950, and married people don't sleep in the same bed.
Oh, sure they do.
How do you think we got little Ricky?
Take home anything in the store for just $40 down.
Oh, no.
I don't think that's how that works.
I don't know.
Just because you're dressed up like a woman doesn't mean we can create a baby.
Number three.
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 That's a cheerful song for your Friday morning. Put a smile on your face, Dave and Darren in the morning. That's us.
Whoa, easy there.
It's the police, Invisible Sun. Let me ask you, if you saw a kid, let's say 15, 16 years old, and they were wearing a police t-shirt. Let's say they're walking around in a Synchronicity t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
What assumptions would you make about that kid? Just right off the bat.
That I need to get home before it's dark.
No. You see a kid walking around, and he's wearing a Regatta de Blanc t-shirt with the police on it. You would assume that is a kid who enjoys the music of the police. Because for you and I, wearing t-shirts for bands was a way that we would announce our love of groups.
So you're telling me now that kids do that to be ironical?
No, it has nothing to do with irony. And that's another important generational difference. They don't like something ironically. Mm. They just have these shirts that they wear. You're going to see kids.
It just doesn't matter?
They have no idea who the bands are that they're wearing. None. I'm telling you, more often than not, and if you don't believe me, please engage with them this weekend. If you see a kid wearing a band shirt, go, cool shirt. Tell me what you love about the band. And 9 out of 10 times they're going to tell you.
I'm not
going to
stop some kid and start that conversation.
You really should.
Not a chance.
I don't think it would kill you to be more friendly.
Not a matter of being friendly. I'm not going to go talk to someone I don't know.
Well, isn't the point of wearing a band shirt to kind of begin discussions on stuff like that?
No.
I think it is. I think the reason you wear a band t-shirt is you want the world to know that you are a fan of that group or that artist. And if somebody says, hey, I like that band, I like that shirt, it's like, cool, that's great, let's do that. The other day, I was wearing a Star Wars t-shirt, and a lady at the store...
I like Star Wars.
A lady at the store said, hey, I like that shirt. And I said, oh, thanks. And then I realized I had queso all over it from lunch.
And you like queso.
Was she making a comment on how I had cheese on my shirt, or does she like the X-Wing fighter and the TIE fighter? I don't know.
Now, is it time to maybe go ahead and pass along or pass down your Jefferson Airplane t-shirt?
I don't have one of those.
Yes, you do. I bought it for you.
And I gave it to Goodwill immediately.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You're not. No, you didn't.
I'm telling you, I did. I don't think I even brought that thing into my house.
I saw you wear it.
I don't remember doing that.
You did. You wore it and
I'm telling you.
And you also have a copy of Riding the Bus with My Sister.
Both of those things have been at Goodwill for a long time. Mm. And I'm guessing they're still there because who would buy them?
Wait till you see what you get for your 50th birthday.
My wife is a high school teacher. And she was sharing a story that there was a kid with a Def Leppard shirt on.
Yes.
And she's like, cool, you like Def Leppard? Like, I've seen him a bunch of times. And Phil Collin, the guitar player, threw me a pic at one of the shows. Uh-huh. And the kid looks at her and says, I have no idea who Def Leppard is. This is just a shirt that I got at Target. I thought it looked cool. I have no idea what Def Leppard is. Didn't even know it was a group. Okay, if you say so. And she says this happens all the time, where kids will be wearing stuff and she'll make a comment like, that's cool that you like that band. No idea.
Well, see, I think it's, no idea I think it's fine for her to have a conversation with those
kids. Well,
yeah,
she's paid to talk to teenagers.
Yeah, so you're see, that makes sense. But me? No. No.
Somebody's saying there are so many Nirvana shirts, and it makes you wonder how many have listened to their music. I'm telling you, at least half of them are not familiar with the band Nirvana. They're just not. It's just a fashion thing that they like the shirt. You would think, too, that if you liked the shirt, you would go and listen to the music. They don't. The Wall Street Journal this week did a story on this. I'll read you the headline. Teens love old rock band t-shirts. Just don't ask them to name a song. Rolling Stones and Iron Maiden t-shirts are in fashion among younger generations, even if they've never heard the music.
Well, I would have a tough time naming Iron Maiden songs.
You could name a couple Iron Maiden tunes.
Run to the Hills.
There you go. That's more than your average 17-year-old in an Iron Maiden shirt would be able to provide. And when you see a kid in a Rolling Stones shirt, you would assume that they like the Rolling Stones, or at least could name a song. A lot of them can't. Now, I know some of you are saying, Dave, my kid wears a Led Zeppelin t-shirt, and he loves Led Zeppelin. Yeah. That's awesome. You're a good parent. What I'm telling you is your kid is the exception to the rule, that they just buy the shirts, and when you say, oh, cool band, and they'll look at you like, band? Oh, is that what this is? I had no idea, genuinely. They don't
Hey there,
know.
Young man. Mick Jagger has kids your age.
grandkids actually, your age.
Well, he's actually got
great grandkids your age.
Doesn't he have a baby?
Here's one. Seventh grader got on my bus wearing a Rolling Stones t-shirt. And I pointed to the shirt and I said, quick, name a Rolling Stones song. And the seventh grader said, what? And I said, you need to name a Rolling Stones song. And the seventh grader just walked away.
Well, yeah. What do you mean I need to?
And I yelled at him, I knew it. You're a poser. That's great. It just 563 texting in saying, this is accurate. My wife's high school cousin was wearing a Nevermind shirt, and I was like, cool, what's your favorite song on the album? And she just stared at me blankly.
What are you guys, the music police?
What do you mean?
With these kids.
It's not about being the music police. It's just about... I'm not even saying I don't think it's right. I'm just pointing out that it's very different. To wear a band t-shirt, to have a musical act as a t-shirt... When I was 17, that was a big
part. An endorsement.
It was a big part of my identity. I mean, half of my wardrobe was, and probably still is, band t-shirts. You know, you go to a concert and you buy the t-shirt to prove that you were there and you heard of them first.
And I had queso on all of them.
No, that was
I ruined every one of those shirts.
We went to Moe's and I can't get the chip into my mouth without getting salsa and or queso on my shirt.
Were you
because I am a child.
Were you eating too fast?
I don't know. Maybe that's it. Is it a matter of eating too fast?
This queso is so delicious.
There was so much of
it. I want it now. This chip is not an adequate shovel.
Here's what I'll tell you. Three of us went out to eat.
Yes.
And I was the only one in our family that got the queso on his shirt. So it's me. It's not the queso. It's something that I
did. Did the others have the queso?
Oh, of course.
Okay, so you shared the queso.
Well, of course. Of course. That's family queso. What do you think? I order a queso and say, this is for me. Both of you avert your eyes.
So Owen bounced back from his wet burrito experience?
Yeah, that was a different restaurant.
I know it is.
Yeah, that was a different Mexican restaurant, different time. I managed to not get salsa on myself that time. So, you know,
What kind of t-shirt you got on there?
Well, this is NASA, the National Aeronautic Space Administration.
Name one of their songs.
Apollo. The Apollo program, ever heard of it?
Good call.
I'm not saying anything negative. I'm not saying music police. What I'm saying is it's just very, very different. The younger generation, when you see them wearing a t-shirt and you make an assumption that, oh, they like that, that's cool. Because I'll tell you what it is for me. When I see a kid in a Def Leppard t-shirt, part of me thinks, oh, well, that's great, because that means... What I liked when I was his age isn't dead and gone and buried. And what it turns out is, it really is.
Of course it is. These kids were born in 2008.
Well, okay, so you're not allowed to like music that happened before you were born?
No, I'm not saying that.
Well, that sounds like what you're saying. It's exactly what you're saying. The kid's walking around in a Beatles t-shirt. It's possible that they haven't heard anything by the Beatles. Because they live in a cave somehow.
I mean, if a kid is wearing a Def Leppard... t-shirt, it should be from the Sparkle Horse Lounge or whatever album that was.
Songs from the Sparkle Horse Lounge, yes.
I mean, that's when they were born.
It's also possible that the t-shirts that the kids are wearing are t-shirts the kids are wearing because the parents bought them, you know? My kid has a Check Your Head t-shirt for Beastie Boys. And I promise you, he couldn't name one Beastie Boys song. I just thought it was a cool shirt.
That'd be like me walking around with like an Eddie Arnold t-shirt or Gene Autry.
563 texting here saying, I agree with Dave. You're a tool if you wear a shirt without knowing what the words on it mean.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Did I say you're a tool?
I don't think you did.
But if you see a kid wearing a Tool shirt, I promise you they don't know who that is.
Anything other than sober.
I'm telling you, not even that. They just, these kids, they don't know. from which bands. And they don't recognize Jolson.
And they don't know Jolson.
It's the hot new style trend. They go to Target and they get their old Rock Band t-shirt and they walk around and they are not familiar with the band. More often than not in every case, but more often than not, it's just a shirt.
Is the band getting paid?
Well, yeah, you get a
here's hope.
You get a little something, I should hope. Yeah. Or, you know, I guess in some cases the band doesn't get paid because they sold the rights to all of that stuff.
Well, that's true.
And that's how
maybe that's why the floodgates have opened with this stuff.
You it's monetize. Like,
we sold that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if a kid is walking around in a police shirt, to go back to where this all started, Sting's not getting that money anymore.
Sting, you've already been paid.
You already sold the rights to that.
You did that.
Number four.
This next story comes to us from Knoxville, Tennessee. And I have to say, while it ends in the arrest of the guy that we're going to be talking about here, his name is Donald Kirkland.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up getting arrested. Spoiler alert. But I want to say I applaud this man's initiative.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I'm sorry if I've ruined the story. He's accused of walking into a Walmart there in Knoxville, Tennessee, and stealing televisions.
Okay.
Then going out into the parking lot of the store and selling the televisions.
Hey, better price than you can get in there.
I can give you a hell of a deal.
Same thing. I got the same thing they gave in there, and this is a lot cheaper.
Officers responded to a Walmart in Knoxville, Tennessee, 9 o'clock on Saturday night, and they found Donald Kirkland in possession of the stolen items. He ran from the officers, but was eventually taken into custody. Kirkland told the officers he had stolen 3 televisions, a karaoke machine, and camping equipment from Walmart.
It happens.
And he was selling the items in the parking lot. A Walmart manager corroborated his story, telling officers he saw Kirkland loading one of the TVs into a cart in the store.
Yeah, that's what happened.
I'm here to corroborate his story. He did steal all of this stuff from us. Charged with theft of merchandise.
I'm here to help any way I can.
I'm here to back up this man's story.
I saw him do it. Mm-hmm. I could have stopped him then, but I didn't.
I realized, though, I could get a better deal buying a TV from him than I would with my employee discount.
Which I did.
I bought a lot. The karaoke
it's
machine.
It's a hell of a TV.
The savings, I tell you what. And he was so courteous when I purchased them from him. We're thinking about giving him a job. Once he gets out of jail. I'm just here to back up this guy's story 110%.
How can I help?
No, I don't know what prices he was charging. It would be even better if he was somehow charging more than they were available for.
But here, no muss, no fuss.
Right.
You go home with this today.
How am I able to pass these savings on to you?
Volume.
Walmart manager telling officers he saw Kirkland loading up the TVs in a cart he was using in the store.
Yes, can I be of any assistance?
I saw the whole thing go down. Didn't do a damn thing to stop him. You'll notice, officer, these calls didn't come from us. Somebody in the parking lot must have called you.
It was during my lunch. You don't do that.
They say Walmart loses $3 billion a year to theft.
Wow.
$3 billion, and that's just in the United States.
Boy, you would think you could clean that up.
$3 billion a year.
How much have you ever stolen from Walmart?
Not anything ever.
I haven't either, so no. Who in the hell's doing it?
No, somebody's doing a lot of it, apparently.
Making up for me.
Walmart has introduced a raft of new measures to try and deter thieves and reduce losses, including added surveillance, staff training,
how about
AI technology, and restrictions for people who have a record of shoplifting. I'll say this. Your $3 billion worth of theft, I have to imagine that number's up since you stopped, you know, having people check you out. There's a video that went viral about a week or so ago where this woman was doing a video. She works with somebody who mentioned they loved It was either apple or cherry pies.
Okay.
So she thought, this guy that I work with is so terrific. I'm going to make him a pie.
Homemade and from scratch?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
I'm going to show you how I do it.
Uh-huh.
So she goes to the Walmart. She gets the pie filling. She gets the pie crusts. She's there, you know, taking video.
Yes.
And then abruptly in the middle of the video, she's in the back of the Walmart.
Yeah.
Filling out a bunch of paperwork because she was shoplifting the cherry pie ingredients.
But I'm going to show you how I do this.
And the term she uses is, all right, everybody, I apologize for the middle there, but I was arrested for, she said, I got caught borrowing some stuff from the Walmart. That's what she called it.
Uh-huh.
Walmart, she was stealing the pie ingredients. But yeah, she was just borrowing it, she said, in her words.
It.
Yeah. $3 billion a year they're losing. And how many of that, how much of that $3 billion is being sold in the parking lot by entrepreneurs such as Donald Kirkland?
Just a couple feet from the front door.
Number five.
There was a Motley Crue show
yeah.
the other day.
How are those going?
I'm sure they're going fine. You've got your Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Poison, and then Def Leppard and Motley Crue. I think they switch off between Motley Crue and Def Leppard who the headliner is.
Uh-huh.
And I think I read somewhere that what they do is they're able to kind of look at data based on...
Oh, depending on where they're playing?
Where they're playing, they can take a look at, like, streaming information and see, okay, who's bigger? What are they listening to? Are they listening to more Motley Crue or more Def Leppard in this town? That they're able to use that.
And they explain that to the bands going in.
Yeah.
This is how we're going to do this, guys.
Oh, it just makes more sense. You can say, you know, like every week I look at a chart that says what people are listening to here in the Quad Cities on their streams. And then that kind of informs, okay, this is what people are into here, right? Like if you're asking for it when you're listening to it on your Spotify or whatever you're using to stream music, it gives me an idea like, okay, here in the Davenport, Rock Island, Moline, Quad Cities area they keep records of all of that stuff. I'm able to kind of say, okay, people are into this, they're not into that, and then, you know.
Quantify that.
It affects, it's information that's good for me to have as the guy that plugs the music in here to make sure that we're, you know, accurately reflecting the tastes of the area. Go figure. Rather than doing a one-size-fits-all approach. So it's pretty smart on their hand.
Well, we're
on their part.
Yeah, okay.
Don't you think?
I suppose it's, you know, and then it's just like, yeah, we're going to go first. We're going to go first so we can be done.
Well, yeah, if you were on this
Let's
tour, you
first.
Would be thrilled to find out
this whole
that
idea of
the other band had better streaming numbers than you.
The whole idea of the headliner, it's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think they give Joan Jett like a half an hour, and I think Poison gets like 40 minutes.
Now, I wonder if she calls Mike Tyson before she goes on.
Or if he calls her.
If he calls her. Just, you know, break.
Joni, you're going to have a great show tonight.
Break a leg.
Joni, I wish you every success with your show tonight.
That would be great. They're doing a stadium tour, or at least they were. That's over with now. The stadium tour has come to its conclusion. And there was a show, I guess, last week in San Francisco where Tommy Lee urged everyone to expose their genitals on the Jumbotron.
Okay. All right.
And one concert goer, furious about this, Juan Alvarez, went to ABC Channel 7 in Chicago and said that the incident was especially traumatizing for all the kids who went to the show and had to see all these naked body parts on the Jumbotron.
I tell you what, you do not want... I don't suppose he ever gets asked to babysit, does he?
Tommy Lee?
Yeah.
No. For a couple of
For
reasons.
A couple reasons.
Alvarez telling ABC7, quote, "Minors and everyone was forced to see people nude on the big screen, and everyone was doing it around us, too. It was like Sodom and Gomorrah. It was crazy. Even the usher, He had to pull a guy down from the brick wall because he had his private parts out screaming. It was pretty crazy. Alvarez says he plans to file a police report with the San Francisco Police Department for the indecent exposure.
I was there on business.
Alvarez saying, quote, "They thought it was absolutely fine and normal and hilarious and okay. When I brought up there were 6 and 9-year-old girls and kids there, they said, well, they shouldn't have come to the crew show." Yeah. Sha. Don't bring a 6-year-old to a Motley Crue show. That's on you. The San Francisco Giants, a spokesperson for them had to get involved because the show took place at the Giants Stadium. They say there have been several complaints and they have expressed their concern to promoters. So, this Tommy Lee hears of
All these complaints?
Mr. Alvarez, in particular, who's on the news,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he hears about that.
He hears of Juan Alvarez's complaint, and he goes on Twitter, and he says, quote, "Yo, Juan, I've got a question for you. What did you expect to see at a Motley Crue concert, dude? We've been doing this forever." And then he says a couple other things.
They have?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. The whole... people exposing themselves at Motley Crue shows, that's 30 plus years that's been going on.
But pulling your pants down?
Well, that does seem weird. It's one thing to take your top off. To have a guy showing his junk in the crowd is something else.
I don't know about that.
Tommy says, "The world is too soft. We've been doing this for years, Juan. Motley Crue concerts aren't PG and never have been."
How about a modicum of eroticum, of decorum? In my day, it was done with a whiff of suggestion. And gosh darn it, we found that sexier.
Just a whiff of suggestion.
Just a whiff.
I see. In California, the crime of indecent exposure occurs when a person exposes his or her naked body or genitals in front of anyone who could be annoyed or offended by it.
And that could be anybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're putting it on a jumbotron, there's going to be somebody has a problem with it.
Just the size of it. It's just
penalties for indecent exposure vary, but if you're convicted of felony indecent exposure, you got to register as a sex offender for a minimum of 10 years. So if they go through and find the tape of this show,
yeah,
and they're able to find out everybody that went to the Motley Crue show because they have, you know, your credit card information, they can kind of put two and two together.
It's, we know, facial, you bought tickets.
Facial recognition, or God forbid, some sort of wiener recognition program, if that's something that they have. We're pretty sure this is your junk, sir.
They don't have that, do they?
I don't know. I don't know that they don't. Tommy Lee also announcing that he's launching a profile on OnlyFans if you'd like to see more of him naked.
I'm going to pass for now.
That's a hard pass. No, thank you.
Hard pass, soft pass, it's a pass.
None of that. None of that, thank you. Yeah, I you should not, listen, I'm not saying it's okay to show your genitals on a jumbotron, but also, don't bring little kids to a Motley Crue show. That is on you. That's horrible parenting. Or it's great parenting if your kids understand going in, look, man, we're going to a Motley Crue show.
We're
going to
see some stuff.
Yeah. This is not Raffy that we're going to tonight, all right? Things are going to get nuts. You're going to see people doing a lot of stuff.
Raffy never got nailed for that, did he?
No. No, I don't know why I brought him into it. It's not the Wiggles. Now, the Wiggles will encourage you to take your junk out at shows. If you're going to the right, the after-hour shows, it's something else.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's all the time we have for this edition of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Thank you so much for downloading it, and we hope subscribing to it. You've certainly listened to it because, well, you're at this point in the podcast where we say it's all done.
And you're done.
Yeah. Yeah, you can now go do something else. You're free to enjoy whatever else you had planned.
Stop this lollygagging.
Unless you're binging these and you're about to listen to another one.
Then do it again.
But as of this moment, this is the last one that we've done. We hope to have another one for you soon. Until we get a chance to do it for you, Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock Island, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm proud of you fellas. You all kept your head on a swivel, and that's what you gotta do when you find yourself in a vicious cockfight.
That does it. Out you two pixies go, through the door or out the window.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.